You're listening to KTWH LP. I'm Leo Babiu, and we're doing our weekly check-in with Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Hospital and Clinic. Happy April to you, Greg. Only 13 months into the pandemic.
Yes, you too.
Yeah, kind of begs the question. How are you and the staff of our county's biggest health provider holding up as the spring moves in, Greg, with vaccination in full swing and all of these different elements of, you know, trends in the state maybe not matching up with things that are happening in the county? It could make you a little apprehensive whether we still have another uptick in new cases in the county. But your workers, your staff has been at it for 13 months. How are they holding up physically and mentally?
Yeah, I think we're doing well. You know, it has been a long haul. When I look back to March of 2020, I just think of all the work that people, both our staff here at Lakeview and public health and all of our other community partners have done over the last 13 months. It's pretty amazing. I do think staff are getting tired. I think the public is getting tired as well and just want this behind us. But, you know, it seems like over the last 13 months, we've had just many, many different themes and things come up that are interesting in terms of what the focus is. And, you know, the focus over the last 3 months or 2.5 months has been all incredible demand for vaccine and limited supply. And then we got to this point that that actually shifted now this week. It feels like we've got vaccine that we're not able to give. You know, people, we've hit this kind of saturation point at least intermittently here, which is just another interesting dynamic that we've got to manage. And you just never quite know what the week's going to bring.
So, Greg, that brings up the question, because in the early stages of vaccination, you were reaching essential health and emergency workers. You were reaching the most vulnerable population, large demographic of 65-year and older folks. Now we've opened it up, the state of Minnesota, eligibility for 16-year-olds and up to receive the vaccine. And now we may have an audience that's a little less receptive, or there's a little less urgency in them signing up for their vaccine. It might not be the same as hesitancy. What are you hearing exactly in your position? Or are people not really sharing why they're not rushing in? Are they not really sharing that with the healthcare community?
Well, yeah, I'll share a perspective kind of where we're at in Lake County. I think this is important to kind of as a framework or some background information. So as of today, and this is going back data a couple of days ago because there's always a lag, but 52% of Lake County residents have had at least one dose of the vaccine. So that, I mean, we're climbing pretty quickly. 52% is very good. We're probably number three in the 7-county region. St. Louis County's behind us, Carlton slightly ahead of us. When you look at the 65-plus group, we're at 78% have had at least one dose of the vaccine. And again, that does not count vaccine that we've given out this week, so that number will continue to climb. And then if you look at the 50 to 64 age group, we're about 46.3% have had at least one dose of the vaccine. When you look at our healthcare workforce, we're much more in line with that 65-plus. So we've done very well at Lakeview with acceptance of the vaccine from our healthcare staff. I've heard reports around the state for some hospitals and skilled nursing facilities as low as 50%, some up as high as, you know, pushing 80%. And again, we're in that mid to high 70%, which is excellent. So we're doing well there. I think back to at least a month or two ago when the demand was just so incredible that we had our phones were ringing all day long. When you went out into the public, people were asking, how do I get on a vaccine list? How can I get my vaccine? How can you get more vaccine? And we knew we were going to get to a saturation point of each kind of group that we offered it to, you know, with 65 plus being the first one, and then medical conditions, and then this kind of other essential worker group. You know, we at 52%, we still have half of the county that has not been vaccinated, just to put that in perspective.
Right.
And so this week, we actually are shutting down our clinic early today because we can't fill the appointments. Two months ago, that was unheard of.
Right. I was going to ask about the subscription to this week's clinics, because I know you definitely put out, Lisa Hansen at Health and Human Services put out a pretty direct request to the public that we broadcast on the radio, saying exactly what number to call to get your appointment for today. I was hoping that you had enough different outlets that you were reaching people who might not have been thinking about it, but would be prompted by the ready availability. And so you're not able to administer all those doses today, and this is the first time.
This is the first time since we started this back in late December. Part of the challenge, and it's just there's a bunch of logistic challenges around this too, is, and we've talked about this before, but for us to thaw out a Pfizer vaccine, for example, once you thaw it out, we've got about 5 hours or so to use up all of those doses.
Right.
So we've been very, very careful that we don't thaw it more than we can use. Now, in weeks and months previous, it was never an issue. We could fill up every appointment that we had, and people were kind of, you know, it was difficult to get them, so it was easy. Now we're leaving some of those in ultra-cold storage. The risk to us is the governor's office and MDH requires us to give every vaccine within 72 hours of getting it, or we get kind of, it's more of a punitive thing, is that's the expectation. At this point, there's nothing we can do. If we thaw it out, we're not going to dump it down the drain. So we're going to leave it in storage and take the penalty for not giving it, because right. there's nobody to give it. And we're comfortable with that. That's the appropriate and the right thing to do. But I think when you hit a certain saturation point, that the people that really wanted it got it. Those that maybe were on the fence, many of those decided that, yes, I'm going to get it, and they've gotten it. Now you've got the people that maybe are still on the fence but leaning toward no, then those are just, you know, resistant to getting the vaccine, period. And I think that's kind of the point that we're at. We didn't think it was going to come in April. We thought maybe this would be kind of late April, early May. So it's just a little bit accelerated than what we expected.
It kind of begs the question whether the demand will continue, but it just at a lower rate as people make up their mind. I mean, how do you prognosticate and figure out what to do with allotments to come? I mean, especially if the supply is supposedly ramping up still.
Right. Well, that was the question that I had to answer this morning in our leadership meeting, was do we defer or decline vaccine for next week? And that's a hard position to be in when you know that people across the county for weeks and months have really, really wanted this. I don't want to decline vaccine so that people who decide they want it next week can't get it. So, but at the same time, we don't want to accept vaccine that could be used elsewhere in the state to help other counties, you know, increase their vaccination rate. So there's no perfect answer. Again, if we had single dose vials, we could just simply go to a different system where if a patient comes into our clinic or our ER or a hospital and says, I want a vaccine, you go pull it out of the storage and give right. them one. We can't do that now, because right. if we do that, we've got five other doses sitting there with the clock ticking that we have to give it, or we dump it down the drain. And so we just have not been willing to waste a single dose, and we haven't done that yet. But it's going to get more difficult, I think, as the weeks go on here.
I'm not trying to get you to spark any particular fear factor, but in fact, you know, we have a pandemic. It's still in full swing in many parts of the world, and even in our own, in the state of Minnesota, significant rises in new cases confirmed per day in the past week plus, and now even hospitalization numbers, statewide at least, heading back up. Lake County has seen a very slow increase in the number of new cases. Somebody living here could say, well, it doesn't seem to be affecting me so much. You know, we don't seem to have the state surging numbers. But if you haven't been vaccinated yet, there's still virus circulating, especially with the variant COVID component being dominant now. It could lead to a higher rate of infection if it does arrive here. So isn't that something that should be compelling people to maybe get the vaccination now before there's any significant increase in circulating virus in the community?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, the challenge is and continues to be this kind of doomsday prediction. And I know this is a very delicate subject, and I'm always a little bit nervous about getting into too much of this. But, you know, I think when you watch some reports, when we keep seeing these predictions of a big surge coming and they don't come, I think it reinforces to some people that we don't need to get vaccinated. This isn't that big a deal. You said this was going to happen. It never did. And so I think every time that happens, it seems to reinforce kind of this hesitancy around vaccination and testing and all, maybe everything COVID. But on the other hand, to your point, I think we have seen kind of these ebbs and flows of activity and strain on the system and all of that in terms of COVID. I would say last week, maybe the 2 weeks previous, or maybe even three, there was a lull. I mean, there wasn't much happening. We were doing a lot of vaccination. The case rate was really low in Lake County and really elsewhere. Lake County's been very, very fortunate of a very slow case rate, low positivity rate, which has been excellent. I think that's going to change slightly. I don't think it's going to be a big surge. I'm not saying that. But I think we're seeing across the state now, again, back to what we saw to a lesser degree, but back to what we saw in November. I was on a call yesterday that the Twin Cities hospitals are filling up again, and the rural facilities are having a hard time transferring people into those hospitals for a higher level of care. Now, again, that's not only COVID. That's COVID and non-COVID reasons or diagnoses. Right. But I think we're certainly on a trend going back to more activity. I can tell you from our staff here of all of our employees and their families, we're hearing more people experiencing community exposures, more positive cases than we did 3 weeks ago. So it certainly feels like we're kind of back to focus on COVID again, where for 3 weeks it was focused on hospital and clinic work along with vaccination. So there's certainly some shifting happening again. And I agree. I think now is an important time to consider vaccination if you haven't had it before it kind of ramps up again. But we can talk more about that.
It's hard for the average layperson maybe to understand that if we have over 50% of the coronavirus now being of a variant like the B117 being over 50% of what's circulating in Minnesota, it's 50% more transmissible. And we have young people coming back into the classroom, apparently higher rates of spread now among our younger population. I don't know exactly the figures there, Greg, but it's a different shape of the pandemic right now. And it would seem that more people being vaccinated would just reduce the total number of people susceptible to helping the spread. So it's a complicated message, isn't it, to try to give the people that now would be a great time to be vaccinated. You could just help your community, even if you're confident that you're not going to be harmed.
Right. And I've never been a big proponent of using fear to motivate people to do something. I just don't think it's effective. I think you share facts, be very honest and clear and transparent, and then educate people to the best of your ability. But I agree with you. I think when we look at the true education around the vaccine with the experts, whether you're infectious disease experts or physicians or even your family physicians, those are the people that I trust. I mean, I think I trust those over somebody on Facebook saying that it causes all kinds of issues that just aren't maybe unfounded. But I think we have to do a much better job in our country and in our state and even locally around the education about, so why get vaccinated, to your point. Because I've heard some very intelligent people say survival rate is 98%+, and I'm young, I'm going to be fine. And what we keep reminding people is that somebody you come in contact may not be fine if they get it. And the counter is, well, they should be vaccinated. If you're saying 80% of those are vaccinated, the risk should be low. It is complicated, and I think we have to just do a really good job of educating about the why and sharing facts and letting people make their own decision. There's a lot of controversy now around this kind of vaccine mandate and these vaccine passports, and yep. I think I've heard people say, well, because of that, I'm surely not getting it now. I'm going to fight back, and again, I don't know what the right answer is there either. It just makes it more complicated, and people seem to become more entrenched in their beliefs, and that's a difficult position, I think, for both sides.
It is. I even think there's additional complications because we're still trying to see the contours of the more chronic aftermath of people who are younger who weren't necessarily hospitalized, but apparently there's some prevalence of people having lingering effects of COVID, even though it didn't kill them, it didn't put them in the hospital. And it's probably not necessarily something you need to get for the experience. You don't need to contract COVID so you know what it feels like if you're a healthy 25-year-old, because there are risks.
Right. One thing I would share, and I found this really interesting, and it really got me to think maybe a little bit differently even yesterday. So there's a hospital CEO was sharing an example of their community where they're seeing a lot, and they have the variant is spreading pretty rapidly, and their case rates are higher in this particular county. But he was saying that it's been kind of alarming to their medical staff of the number of 30 and 40-year-olds coming into their ER with positive COVID and significant symptoms.
Wow.
Now, these are people that we thought a month ago or 2 months ago that were pretty low risk. You might get sick, you might be home with kind of some mild symptoms, you quarantine, recover, and go back to your life. But these people are telling the ER physicians that, I never thought I would feel like this. This thing has really hit me hard, and I just never expected that. Which, again, to your point, I don't think you want to get COVID to see how you're going to respond to it,
right?
Both when you're sick or the kind of lingering effects. And my first thought when I heard that was, I'm super grateful that I'm vaccinated, because I hope and I'm very confident in the effectiveness of the vaccine that I won't end up in that position. But I don't want anybody else to end up in that position thinking, I wish I would have gotten vaccinated because I didn't expect this. So we haven't heard much of that up until now. Before it was the 65, 70 plus. When it shifts to 30 to 40, that's a much different conversation.
Indeed. Part of me wanted to have a conversation today. It was about the complete success of the vaccination program and how soon we can look forward to a total return to normalcy, for instance, holding large community gatherings. But it just seems like talk of that needs to be delayed as we try to get through this challenging period where you say now demand for the vaccination appointment might be lagging. So, I mean, if there's any message you'd like to leave the community in general about, to folks who say, I'm just exhausted. I don't know that I want to be hearing much more about this virus. When do we roll out the streets and have our, return to a normal North Shore summer?
What I think, looking back a month, I think people really thought that when this vaccine was rolling out, that people would get vaccinated and the end was really close, that we get enough people vaccinated, we're back to normal, summer was going to be good. And I think that's shifted a little bit now. There's two things I tell people, and I had again, back to this person who is anti-vaccine that I've had some really good conversations with. There's two messages I give. Number one is go do some research. I think there's a ton of research from credible sources that is not biased, where you can read about it and understand kind of how it was produced and how it works and the side effects and risks and benefits and all of that. So that's one way. The second thing I would recommend to people is to talk with your healthcare provider. I mean, they know more than anybody else about the risks and benefits of this vaccine, probably in addition to all the other vaccines that all of us probably have had. You know, I need to be vaccinated here to work in my position in the hospital, and you know, it's something I've done, and it's fine. But I think the provider can really help shed some light on that. I know there's some, you know, social media campaigns going around that young people can have issues. You know, young people that are in childbearing age, they're concerned about the vaccine. And again, there's just really no data or research to back that claim up. And so that's a good conversation to have with your provider to really alleviate those fears versus reading it on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere else. But I think it comes back to education, and people have to make decisions that are best for them. And you know, we're not forcing people to get it, but it's going to maybe prolong this situation that we're in.
Indeed. I'm speaking with Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital. And Greg, could we just give folks a heads up that vaccination clinics will continue to be held in the county, Public Health and Lakeview Clinic partnership, and the radio station would be happy to try to get the word out if you're evolving the message and how people can sign up, because I know you have planning to do for these clinics, and it could be challenging when you don't know what anticipated demand you're going to have.
Yeah, so I think I've got a call actually today at 11 to do this exact same thing, some additional planning on what next week looks like. My thought at this point is that we're certainly going to continue vaccinating in the kind of the format that we've used so far. I think what will change, though, is we're going to probably end up going to a process where people that want to get vaccinated get put onto a list. And as we accumulate enough names, we'll say, okay, we've got enough to open up X amount of vials. We're going to do that on Thursday at 1 o'clock, for example. And then we'll go through the entire list, vaccinate people, and then we'll use up our inventory, where the remaining inventory will stay in ultra-cold storage. We've tried this week to open up clinics based on the amount of vaccine we have available, but we get stuck not being able to use it. And so we've got to shift a little bit. But I think from the public, it'll look kind of the same. It's just it'll be more dependent on scheduling and people that want it versus the vaccine will pull out and give. So we certainly don't want to stop vaccination, and we certainly don't want to waste it. So it's going to have to evolve on how we do it.
Well, we'll be eager to see how it turns out. I know it could be quite challenging for you because you have to, of course, deal with the folks who want to supply you with increasing quantities of the vaccine as we're trying to nationwide to, you know, turn the corner and come out of the tunnel into the full light of COVID immunity. And it's a very challenging position that you're finding yourselves in at the hospital and clinic.
Yeah, I always go back to, you know, I think of a quote about for every complex problem, there's an answer that's clear, simple, and wrong.
Perfect.
It just reminds me of these complex situations. There are no easy answers. Everything has a trade-off, and we try to make really good decisions and support the community and learn as we go. So we will keep doing that.
Thanks, Greg. We'll continue to monitor this with you, and good luck in the weeks to come. And thanks for everything you've done to date to inform the community and protect the community.
All right, you're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye. Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital, our weekly COVID-19 update. You're in tune to KTWH.